First of all, shkoyach to the Inan, the sponsor for the breakfast this morning, the Lakovid Nusser Josefi. So they should both be zeichet to Sheva Brach Vatzlach Ad Bli Dai. Zeich Kla Yisrael, Surah Toivas, Yeshua Zanachamas. Okay, so really I'm doing something which is probably not so smart to do. It's been a little bit of a break with Sefer Shoftim because we had Shavuos and we had Shiurim about Yontif and so on and so forth. So really the best thing would be to go back into Sefer Shoftim and start like a new sugya, fresh, and start, but what can I tell you? Like what we're up to now is like a continuation of what we had last time. So maybe for 2 minutes, I'll just sort of tell you a little bit of what you just need to know a little bit, just to appreciate the context of what we're going to be learning today. Again, what we're going to learn today could be standalone for sure, but it'll be better if you see it as a continuation. The last thing, the last part of Sefer Shoftim we learned was the Shoftim of Ehud, right? Ehud was the second Shoftim. Those were with Ehud. He was a lefty. It's a whole Maisa. And Egloin was the king, Egloin Melech Moyav, and he subjugated Klal Yisrael, and Ehud became the Shoftim. He kills Egloin. It's a whole Maisa. So basically, in Pnim Yisator, what we saw last time, this is going back a few weeks already, what we saw that the Pnimius of that story of Ehud and the leadership of Ehud was the Inyan of the Shekhinah, of the Shekhinah HaKadosh, of being stuck in very, very low places, being in Golas, but slowly but surely emerging out of Golas. And again, we spoke about this again then, that, you know, the Nekudah Ikaris of Malchus descending into low places by midnight, and the other tests, Chalakim of Malchus descending in at other stages. We spoke about Varichas, but that was the basic storyline. The Pnimius of Ehud was that Inyan of Malchus, of the Malchus of Hashem, of the Shekhinah HaKadosh, being able to emerge out of Golas and to reveal herself, so to speak, and the Baruch Hu's presence should be fully revealed. So, just in that context, we're now going to see the next Shoftim, who is yes his own leadership, not his own leadership. But it's going to be sort of a continuation of that storyline, as you'll see. So in Marmok number 1, the next Shoftim, his name is Shamgar ben Anas. But this Shoftim, Shamgar, only we have basically one pasuk about him, one or two pasukim. So the pasuk says like this, is the end of Perek Gimel, flowing into the beginning of Perek Dalet and Sefer Shoftim. So it says like this, V'achrav, after Ehud, Shamgar ben Anas. There was the next Shoftim. There might be some typos. I wrote this up very, very late at night, so there might be some mistakes. So after Ehud, Shamgar ben Anas, there was the Shoftim Shamgar ben Anas. What was his inyan? What was his hanoga? V'yachis haplishtim. He killed the plishtim. Sheish meis ish. He killed 600 plishtim. Ben malmad habakar. What's Malmud HaBakar? So Malmud HaBakar is that you have, let's say you have oxen that you're using to plow. So sometimes the oxen are going, but they're veering off, they're bumping into each other, whatever. So the farmer would have a stick with a pokey, you know, sort of metal poke at the end of it, like a poker. And he would, make sure the cows go in the right direction. He would like, hit them and so on, to make sure that they're going. That's called a malmad habakar. Malmad is like the malami, like a teacher. Not shouldn't use a poker like that, but that directs the children the right way. So instead of the children, it's bakar. So malmad habakar, that's what it is. So Shamgar killed 600 plishtim with a malmad habakar. Okay, but Yoisha gamu as Yisrael, and he also saved Klal Yisrael. It's interesting. Again, it doesn't say what the enemy was, the whole Maisa. This is all it says, that he killed 600 plishtim with the Malmud HaBakar, and he also saved Klal Yisrael and others, just like Ehud did, he also did. That's the end of Perek Gimel, and then the beginning of Perek Dalet picks up with the following pasuk, V'yisifu b'nei Yisrael la'asisirah b'nei Hashem. This is the theme of Sefer Shoftim. While the Shoftim's alive, everything is fine. But when the Shoftim is nifter, Klal Yisrael fall back into their mistakes until they do tshuva, and then another Shoftim steps up to save the day. So V'yisifu b'nei Yisrael la'asisirah b'nei Hashem. The Jewish people continue to do that which was not good in the eyes of Hashem. They would mace. because Ehud was nifter, so Ehud's not here anymore. So, so in the Rishonim we find just simple pashut like history. Who was the Shamgar person? When did he live? When was his malchus? Because what's strange is the end of Perek Gimel. First of all, when it introduces Shamgar, it doesn't say much about him, but also has a very interesting lashon, which is Vayosha Gamhu Ezra. He also saved Klai. I mean, every Shaifit saved Klai. So what does it mean Gamhu? As if it's like an extension on Ehud. And then the next pasuk, where it talks about the Jewish people falling into the mistakes again, it talks about when did this happen after Ehud died. One second, I thought there was Shamgar after Ehud. So what it should say is that they did negative things, they fell into mistakes, and Shamgar was Nifter. He was the last Shaifit after Ehud, right? It's Ehud, Shamgar. So every shayfet means that you're saving the day. So what exactly is going on? So it's in the Rishonim we find different approaches. So in Marmokah number 2, from the Sefer Seder Olam, so in the Seder Olam in Perek Yud Beis, so he's going through the history over here. So he says, he's talking about the history of the shayftim. So he says, okay, after Yeshua and the Zakenim, so then you have the shayftim. So you had Asniel ben Kenaz, right? That was the first shayfet. Then you had Ehud. And now he says like this, B'yomav, in the end of Ehud's life, Hayashamgar ben Anais. There was Shamgar. He was the Shaifit, the Soif Yomav at the end of Ehud. So says the Seder Olam, that's why Shamgar is like sort of thrown in the middle of Ehud over here, because he did not have his own Hanhaga by himself. The tail end of Ehud, I guess when Ehud was older, he wasn't able to fear Klal Yisrael the way he was when he was younger, whatever it is. So Ehud sort of took that role under the umbrella of Ehud. That's the meaning of the pasuk, Vayosha Gamhu Es Yisrael, that he also saved Klal. In other words, it was all under Ehud, but he's the end of Ehud. That's why when it says the next pasuk, V'yisiva b'nei Yisrael lasis rabbeni Hashem, v'Ehud meis, why not Shamgar meis? Because even Shamgar was only Tafel, secondary was Nichlal in Ehud. That's how the Seder Olam says it. In Marmok number 3, the Metzudas David, the other Mefarshim also, but Metzudas David just says it more clearly. So he says a similar idea, but not 100% the same. So Gamhu, it's a little bit typo. Gamhu, again, it says in Pasuk, in the end of Perek Gimel, that Shamgar also saved Klai, so Gamhu. So the Metzudas David says like this, Rotzoloimer, the meaning is, not so much that he was, that his Hanhaga was within Ehud, Ehud's timeline. Shamgar was tafka after Ehud. But here's the difference. The leadership of Shamgar was not, the salvation that Shamgar brought to Klal Yisrael was not as great as Ehud, or really the other Shaiftim as well. So, Umekomakim gamu asa chuama, but he did do some salvation. So in other words, that's why it says, V'yosha gamu as Yisrael. In other words, was Shamgar's Hanhaga, was his salvation of Klal Yisrael, was his, again, when a Shaifet had two roles. And ultimately, boiling down to the same thing, which is getting Klal Yisrael to do tshuva, right, and vanquishing the enemy, which are really one of the same. The enemy is just a manifestation of Klal Yisrael's mistakes. So, in this Nakuda, Shamgar's Hanhog, his leadership, was not as great as Ehud, was not as great as other Shaiftim. He didn't bring a tshuva gedoyel, he didn't bring a great and complete salvation. He brought somewhat of a tshuva, somewhat of a salvation. And that's why the next pasuk, where it says that Klal Yisrael fell into mistakes, v'Ehud meis, Ratzalomer miyom shemeis Ehud. It means that once Ehud died, they already fell into mistakes. V'af bimei Shamgar. And even though that you had Shamgar as the Shaifet, still asu hara, they were still falling into low places, into mistakes. And ulezeh lo haisa tshuasa gedoyla. And that's what it means, that Shamgar's, the Yeshua that he brought to Klal Yisrael was not great, not as great as Ehud and the other Shaiftim. So within the Jewish people, in that fallen matziv of Lasis Hara Beni Hashem, Shamgar was able to lead the Jewish people, I guess, in that space, not a full salvation, but al-Kuponim, within that space of Lasis Hara Beni Hashem, he was able to be Mane Klal Yisrael. And the description is, again, so was it a, relatively speaking, to get out of that place of Ra Beni Hashem, he wasn't able to do that. So compared to other Shaiftim, his Yeshua, his salvation, his leadership was much less. But that's what Shamgar was able to be poiled, that in that place of Lasser Rebbeinu Hashem, he was able to lead Klal Yisrael to at least help them along the way, to give them at least somewhat of a Tshua, somewhat of a Yeshua. And that's what's described over here, that it was in such a way that he killed 600 Plishtim with the Malmet HaBakar. That's okay, that's what we know. That's the Pashut, that's the history of Shamgar. That's all. Okay, so what's the penimus of this? So Okay, so what we'll do is like this. I'll in the beginning, for the next few minutes, we're going to use Arizal language, okay? So, which is not going to mean much. But then, Bez Hashem, after just a few minutes, we'll bring it down, halacha l'maisa, what this means for us in Avaida. So, as I said before, the story of Ehud is the story of Malchus, of the Shechina, of the Neshama of Eid, right? Being stuck in low places. In the language of the Arizal, the low places, so to speak, that the Shechina, that the Neshama might be stuck in, which is that space of Kiviyachol, Ra Be'eni Hashem, right? A place where there's very strong tilting towards negative things and inclinations to do negative things. Though that lower space, as even what we mentioned about Likutei Moran Shir, is called by the three universes of Bria, Yetzira, and Asiya. Those are the three lower universes. That's the space of Ra Be'eni Hashem. But then you have salvation itself, which is to get out of that. And you get to a higher place of Lo Yigur Chara, where there is no evil, and that's called Atzilus. So the story, again, this is what we spoke about in the story of Ehud, is that the story of the Shechina, of Nishmas Yisrael, of the Jewish people, Knesset Yisrael, which is the Shechina, being stuck in Golas, in a low place, and eventually being able to emerge out of that, that's the story of the Shechina, which in the language of the Rizal is also called Malchus, also called Knesset Yisrael, also called Yir Neshama, it's all the same thing. So that it's a story of the Neshama of Knesset Yisrael, of Malchus, being stuck in Bri Yitzin Asiya, and then being able to break out of that and to enter into Atzilus. When it's in that space of Atzilus where there's no Ra, it's Gevaldik, that's called Tshuva, that's called Dveikus with Ribbono Shel Olam, back to back, face to face, whatever Madrega you want to call it. And you know, that's that space of Atzilus. So there's a chiddush from the Arizal. So the process of davening is such. The process of davening is, first you say karbonis, which is the Shechina breaking out of Asiya. And then you continue on through Pesukah de Zimra, and that's called the Neshama breaking out of Yitzira. And then you get to Kriyishma, you go through Kriyishma, and that's the Neshama, that's Knesset Yisrael Malchus, the Shechina breaking out of Bria. And then you get to Hashem's Vasei Tiftach, which is Shemoneh Esrei. That's Atzilus. Shemoneh Esrei is Atzilus. That's Dveikus. That's Yichud. Where all there is Hashem Echad Shema Yichud is Gevaldik. There's a chiddush in the Arizal. The Arizal says that everything is like a seamless like ascent and it's Gevaldik. You go from Asiya to Yetzira to Bri, it's Gevaldik. Everything's fine. But that last, like, that last hill to get over, that last hump to get over from Bria into Atzilus, there's an avoid over there. What's the avoid? The avoid is what we say by davening. Tehilos lekel elyon goyalam baruch hu mevayrach moish avnei yisrael lachanu shira v'simcha rabba. That part, there's an yonim that's going on over there. What's that inyan? So, I'm going to do the best I can to explain it. The Rizal says as follows. We'll see it inside a little bit. But the Rizal says that what has to happen in order for the Shechina, in order for the Neshama to break through that last barrier to get to Atzilus, what has to happen is that the light of Atzilus, so to speak, has to actually, it's like by a chasana, right? So the kala comes to the chuppah, right? So the chasana first goes to the chuppah, the chasana's standing there, doing his thing, davening for whatever he thinks he needs, and then the kala goes to the chasan, right? And so the minig is, so by Sfardim, you see this in a very extreme way. Ashkenazim also, but it's more subtle. By Sfardim, let's say, for example, the chasan, when the kala is gone, so the kala comes to the chasan. But right before the kala is able to get to the chuppah, the last little bit to get to the chuppah, the chasan goes out to sort of greet the kala, and then they come in together to the chuppah. Ashkenazim don't do it as obvious, they take a couple steps, that's the minute, take a step or two. That's the, what's the site of that? So that is reflective of this inyan. The kala, the chuppah is like Atzilus. That's like Shemoneh Esrei, right? And the kala is getting to Shemoneh Esrei of Karbonis and Pesukah de Zimra and Kriyishma as well. But the last little bit, by Tilos L'Kel Elyon, in order to allow the kala to get to the chasen, what has to happen is that an illumination, a ha'ara, something, epis, something from Atzilus, has to make actually its way down into that space of Bria where the Kala is, and then they come together to the Chuppah. Now, In the language of the Arizal, the way this is described, what's happening is not only like in the mashal I just gave of a chassan and kala, okay, like that's what that happens. Like the chassan leaves the chuppah, so to speak, or whatever, takes a couple steps, whatever it is, and sort of greets the kala, and they go together. In the Arizal, the way it's described is as follows: is that as malchus is ascending upwards, ultimately, here again, just the language of the Arizal. When the Shekhinah breaks through and gets to Atzilus, then a process that begins to take place, which is called Binyan HaMalchus, where Malchus begins to develop and the Shekhinah is able to fully, you know, reveal herself and to Nishmas Yisrael is able to unpackage all of its kaychas. The Binyan HaMalchus takes place once the Shekhinah breaks through into Atzilus. But as she's ascending upward, then the way it's described by the Arizal is that she's an akuda katana, or disjointed parts. It's not, there's no, the full stature of the Shekhinah only manifests when it's in Atzilus. But comes the Arizal with the following chiddush. At that moment when there's an illumination, a hashpa of Atzilus into Bria, to sort of escort the Kala to the Chasan, so to speak, then at that moment, in a Bria Madrega, it's all relative to Bria. So whatever is happening in Bria is really not going to be as extreme and as great as it's going to happen in Atzilus. But a little bit of a foreshadowing, a little bit of an appetizer of what's going to happen in Atzilus takes place at the very, very end of Bria, which is that Malchus, that the Shekhinah, actually begins to develop and experience back-to-back, face-to-face, mamish, a yichud, right? A taste of a yichud. It's not the full thing, obviously, but a little bit of a taste of what's going to be in Atzilus already in Bria. And now that the Shekhinah, with that illumination of Atzilus, which represents the Chosen, is able to actually have the Shekhinah sort of develops herself and builds herself, and there's an expression of the Shekhinah, and there's actually a yichud that takes place in Bria. So now they can then ascend together and break through the last barrier to get to Atzilus, to then truly build Malchus in the real way, in the full stature, and have a yichud in the real way. So in other words, in the model of the Arizal, what's happening is that all the ascent from Asiya to Yetzira through Bria is all, it's Mamash Ul HaChanas, and then there's the ultimate binyan of Malchus with the yichud of Kudshei Baruch Hu Shechinta that happens in Atzilus. But right before, what happens is this paradoxical, strange thing, which is that everything that's going to be in Atzilus, then actually a little bit of a taste of that takes place in Bria. And now we know this, like now that you have a taste of it, so then you're, then there's a breakthrough into Atzilus, and the real thing happens. This is rooted in Chassidus. In Chassidus, we have there's a very well-known principle. It goes back to the Kadmonim, which is Ein Chassidus Ketchil Asa, right? That sometimes when a Yid takes upon themselves, you know, the decision that they're going to become an Oved Hashem in a real way. So what happens is very often the Rabbanu Shalom gives you a taste of all the Madregas that you're eventually going to reach, but it's just to give you that taste. And then it goes away, and now that you tasted it, you go weiter, and you earn it on your own, right? The storyline for that is Pesach, right? Because like the first night we were in Mitzrayim, we have to break out of Mitzrayim to get to Har Sinai, but in order to get to Har Sinai, you have to at least taste Har Sinai. So the first night of Pesach, Rabbeinu Shem gives you unbelievable iris and meichin, but it's still Mitzrayim, Dick. You're still in Mitzrayim, but it's a taste of what's going to be in Mitzrayim. And then that gives you the strength and the momentum to break through. And then it's that the aura is taken away. But then you slowly but surely climb the ladder for 49 days, and you actually get to Har Sinai now. So that's what the Arizal is describing as well. Is that as Malchus, as the Shekhinah ascends the ladder from Asiya to Yetzira through Bria, all she is a Nekuda Ketana, underdeveloped and just you know, Nebuch, like a malnourished neshama, trying to eventually get to that place of Atzilus, to have all the madrigas that Atzilus will have to offer. But right before she breaks through Atzilus, then illumination of Atzilus actually goes into Bria, building her up and giving her everything that she's going to be experiencing on an Atzilus level, but getting it on a Bria level. And now that she has it on a Bria level, now the Chasan and Kal can both go into the chuppah. All this is happening by Tehillah Islakel Elyon, Gael Baruch Hu Mavarach. Right before that, it's kedai also to know. And by the way, this is not, I mean, in the kavanis themselves, or what Shemus HaKadosh, and that's all complicated, it's not for us. But the avoida, the hergesh shabalev, that's certainly, every single one of us can do this by davening. Right before Tilis Lekel Elyon, you say, Oizer Dalam, right? Oizer Dalam is a very big avoid, it's very important. Oizer Dalam, that moment, that's when you, the Rizal says that you should feel mamish tzibrochen. That's the moment where you should, like, if you can, right? If you, you know, you get, huh? Only there, yeah. Only there. So you have to be, but he says like this, you have to like be more, it's a brachen kind within yourself in the effort of connecting yourself to the Shekhinah. In other words, it's not just tam tzibrochenkeit. That may be all day long, but it's for the purposes of relating to the Shekhinah, because how the Shekhinah feels in Golas is tzibrochen. So when you say oizer dalim, so you try to imagine what the Shekhinah is going through in Golas, and you makash yourself to the Shekhinah because the Shekhinah is about to ascend into Atzilus, and you want to be riding those coattails. You want to get there also. So that's what Oizer Dalam is. Then you get to Tilas Lekel Elyon. The Rizal was Megala, that by Tilas Lekel Elyon, that's when the illumination from Atzilus enters into Bria to build the Shekhinah, at least on a Bria Dikkel level, whatever is capable in Bria. And there's a Yichud between the Shekhinah and that illumination of Atzilus in Bria. And then they're able to ascend into Atzilus with Hashem Svasei Tiftach. Now, one other thing that I'll mention before we'll see it inside, that illumination that comes from Atzilus, that Rizal describes, as we'll see, is the Midah, is coming from the Midah of Yisoid. Every universe has a system of Midas. The particular Midah in Atzilus that sends an illumination downward, so to speak, into Bria to build Malchus and to unite with Malchus and to give a little bit of a taste of what's to come, to then emerge into Atzilus, that's from the Midah of Yisoid. The Midah of Yisoid. The reason for that is very simple. I mean, Yisoid is the masculine Midah. Yisoid means Hashpah. So if there's any Hashpah that's happening, it's always going to be using the component of the Midah of Yisoid. Again, like I said from before, this is the Arizal language, so you're not expected to really understand anything. We don't, neither do I. Even the greatest Mekubal and Tzaddikim don't know what this is. But even just learning the words, right, is good for the neshama, and then because the neshama knows what we're talking about, and so it's good. But that's the Rizal says. Let's see it together. Now, in this piece, what we're going to see is that Rizal tells us that the midah of Yisoid that's sending an illumination low into the world of Bria, there's really three components. There's in the language of the Rizal, he uses the language of this. There's every mid, like we say by Sfiras Eimer, right? The chesed shel chesed, you know. So every midah has a yisoid in it, right? So there are three yisoides, so to speak, that are in play in this process. There's what the Arizal calls yisoid of Abba. That's Abba means chachma. So it's like the yisoid of chachma is the first. Like when this shefa is coming from Atzilus, it's flowing through all the yisoids that are necessary. So there's the yisoid of Chachma, that's where the shefa originates from. And then originates from Chachma, and it funnels through the yisoid of Chachma. Then it goes to the yisoid of Bina, which the Rizal calls Ima, Abba Ima, right? So the yisoid of Abba to the yisoid of Ima, and then to yisoid Shebi yisoid, which he calls the yisoid of Zer Anpin. Those are the language that the Arizal, that's the language of the Arizal. Those are the three yisoidas. So that's what we're going to see. And the Arizal says that's the kavanas of Tehilas Lekel Elyon Goyalam Baruch Hu Mavarach. I'll explain. Tehilas, it's interesting. The Arizal is Madgish. He says Yudavka should use Nosach Ashkenaz for the word Tehilas. I guess in the early Eidut Mizrach, before the Arizal, it was Tehilah. It was Lashon Yachid. The Arizal says, no, you should be Lashon Rabim. Why? Because the Shechina is comprised of two components, Rachel and Leah. So Tehilos is a reference to the Shekhinah, which is Lashon Rabim, because right now she's all in pieces. So it's not one union yet, so it's Tehilos. Lekel Elyon, Kel, as we'll see in a second, is a reference to the Yisoid of Bina, the Yisoid of Bina, that's the name Kel. Maybe I'll explain in a moment of why. Elyon is a reference to the Yisoid of Abba, the Yisoid of Chachma. Tehilos, Lekel Elyon, Goyalam, Gayalam is a reference to the Yisayid Shebi Yisayid. So you're activating the Shefa from Atzilus to then funnel into Tehillos. And then you evoke Neshamas that are related to this. Maisha is this Ha'ara. This Ha'ara is the Yisayid of Maisha, is the Kaich of Maisha that goes from Atzilus, the Chasin that goes into Bria in order to escort the Kala back. Huh? So he, because the word Geula is associated with the Midah of Yisayid. So Goyalam is a Shtarkin of Geula. He also, there's other gematrias that are involved. We'll see. I don't know if, I can't remember how much I quoted over here. Huh?
Why isn't
Bina Chachma
Yisayid?
Why isn't Bina? Kel is Bina. Kel is Bina, yeah. Elion is Chachma.
And Goyalam is Yisayid.
Yeah.
Why does it go with Goyalam?
Because we don't, because you can't engage with Chachma by itself. Chachma always has to be engaged through Bina. So ultimately, it all starts from Chachma, but our window into Chachma always has to be through Bina. So even when we're referencing Chachma, it's a Kel Elyon. It's through Bina. See what he says. So this is in Shar Kavanis in Kriyishma Drush Ches. V'nevar at Tamilais. So now we'll explain the words Tehilais the Kel Elyon. Hine says the Rizal B'Zayir Amru, and the Zayir it says. It's from the Zohar. Shabbat Tehilas Lekel Elyon. That at that moment, that those words Tehilas Lekel Elyon, Bchulu Kidei Nachis Malka Lekabla. That the Melech descends to receive the Kala, to escort the Kala. That's what the Zohar says. Nimsa. So again, there's a lot of et ceteras over here. So yeah, whatever. But the Nimsa Ki Malki Ilo Hanisker B'Zohar. This higher Melech that the Zohar is talking about, that the Nofik Lekabla, that descends down to be Makabal the Kala and to escort her back, who are Yisayid Abba? That ultimately is the Yisayid of Chachma, the Yisayid of Abba Natsilas. Kihu Nikr Malki Ilo Bamitas. That's truly the Melech Elyon. We talk about Melech Elyon. That's really what that's a reference to. It's all Hashem Echa, but these are different expressions of Hashem. Vizesai, that's the meaning. Tehilas Lekel Elyon Gailam. Ki Tehilai same Beis. Tehilas is two tehilas. In other words, two tehila. The word tehila is a very it's a malchus. It's a very shechina dekin name. Tehila, tehila David. It's tefila. So tehilais means two aspects of the shechina, which is Leah and Rachel. Upirish, and the meaning is as follows: ki kel elyon, kel hu yisayid debina. The reason why, again, this is I'm putting in parentheses for those that get it. If you're good with gematria, then good. If not, don't worry about it. This is in parentheses. The reason why kel is associated with bina is because the name of Hashem, Yud Kei Vav Kei, can be permutated in many ways, as we mentioned many times. And each way you manipulate it corresponds to a different midah. One way to manipulate Yud Kei Vav Kei, if you spell it out in full, is Yud is Yud Vav Dalet, right? Hey is Hey Yud, Hey. Vav is Vav Aleph Vav, Vav. And the final Hey is Hey Yud. If you do it in that way, that's the name of Hashem that corresponds to Bina. Now, if in that name, in that permutation of Yud Kei Vav Kei, you'll find three Yuds, meaning in the filled out letters. Yud Vav Dalet, yeah? Vav Dalet is Yud, that's 10, right? So that's one Yud. Hey Yud, that's another Yud. Right, the final Hey Yud. That's another Yud. That's three Yuds, and plus the middle Aleph of the letter Vav. That's 31. That's Gematria Kel. That's very often in the Kisvei Ari, the name Kel is associated with Bina. Very often, because it's the name that emerges out of Yud Kei Vav Kei when it's Shayach to the world of Bina. That's the permutation of Yud Kei Vav Kei like that. So that's why Kel over here is a reference to the site of Bina. The Elyon. Close parentheses. The Elyon who Yisayid Abba. The Elyon is a reference to Yisayid Abba. Hamislabish toich Yisayid Ima, which is only able to be expressed when it's packaged in Bina, right? So that's what I said before, that you only get to Bina through Chachma through Bina. Ube'erich Yisayid Ima nikra Elyon, and relative to Bina, it's Elyon. So that's why Kel Elyon means the Yisayid of Abba through the Yisayid of Ima. The Chibur Elu Hayisaydis Hanekroyim Kel Elyon Behem Tol Yisayid Agula. That's what the gula depends on. That's the gula depends. The gula of your means the shechina breaking out into Atzilus. That's the gula. And so that's what it depends on. V'zem ashekas of goyalam. And that's the meaning of goyalam over here. Ki hu hamala oisam. Kel elyon is what is mala, is what escorts malchus upward. V'goyal oisam yad chitzanim. It saves tehilos, the Rachel and Leah. It saves them from the chitzanim, from the lower universes of Bria, from and that's how it's able to ascend upward. Now, Bechlal, Geula is Yisayid. Yisva Tzadik is the one that paves the way for the first Geula of Mitzrayim. Yisva is Yisayid. So Yisayid is always associated with Geula. Dimas mich Geula Tvila, right? Geula Tvila, Tvila is Malchus. Geula means Yisayid. So that means Mas mich Geula Tvila. Avala Yisayid Zah, hu makal b'bracha b'menu. And the Yisayid of Zerampin, the Yisayid Shebi Yisayid, which is sort of the Shliach, the part that's actually breaking, you know, sort of emerging into Bria to help Malchus ascend. So Humakabel Brachimenu is receiving the chef and the energy from Kel Elyon, from Yisoid Ab and Yisoid Ima, and then the Yisoid of Yisoid is taking that energy and bringing it into Bria to be Makabel the Makabel Pnei Hakala Nikra Umavirach, and that's Baruch Hu Umavirach. That Goyalam, that Yisoid Shev Yisoid, is Baruch Hu Mavairach, is charged with all the koyach of Kel Elyon, and then it's able to be makabel the Pnei Hashchina, which is Tehilos. Ki lahalos is a kal lamala, and this is the nekuda, that in order for the kala to ascend above, tzarch lahayrid ha'aras Yisoid Abba, be Yisoid Deza, there has to be a illumination coming from the Yisoid of Chachma, Yisoid of Abba, into Yisoid Shev Yisoid, or the way he calls it, Yisoid of Zerampin. The Yisoid of Zerampin, Yisoid Shev Yisoid, Hamal Oisim in Bri El Atzilus. That's the process.
Yisoid of Abba also called?
Huh? It's giving its Ha'ara, and it's, you know, tapping Yisoid Shev Yisoid on the shoulder, not it itself, right? But it's Mislabish do that, right? Ukvar Hiditicha, and we already explained that Sherish Moshe Rabbeinu should be Yisoid Abba, that's the Sherish of Moshe, Vizem Asher Kosev Kantekev, Moshe Vene Yisrael. Ki Moshe hu Yisoid Abba. I didn't quote this over here, but the Rizal then goes on to say that again, the unbelievable Chiddush is that not only does the Chassan go down to Makabal the Pnei Akala, but there's actually a binyan of Malchus. Malchus Mamish is built, and there's a Yichud between that illumination of Yisoid Shev Yisoid with Malchus, with the Shechina, on a level of Bria, reminiscent and sort of a foreshadowing, the Yichud that's going to be in Atzilus, although not on the highest of levels. That's why the Arizal, again, he's to speak with Tznius, but the Arizal says that this Yichud that takes place in Tehillas L'Kel Elyon, he calls it a Yichud of Neshikin. Not a yichud of of Yisaidah, so to speak, a yichud of Neshik, which is the beginning of something that's going to be b'shleimus in Atzilus. That's the language of the Arizal.
Experientially, we call this inspiration.
Yes. That's exactly what Chassidus says. When a person feels that inspiration, or again, that's usually the process. Like you're makabel. Hopefully, sometimes it can happen on its own without earning it, so to speak. But assuming the normal process would be that a person's makabel themselves to, you know, really, you know, to work on their avodas Hashem, and then there's this Osiris, there's an illumination, there's an inspiration, and almost a taste of what's yet to come, and that's exactly what's happening. It's Tehillas, you're experiencing Tehillas L'Kel Elyon, Goyalam Baruch Hu Mavarech Moshe V'nei Yisrael, and that is giving you the strength to then move into Atzilus, which is the real avoid and the real madrega that you're aspiring to. That's exactly what's happening.
And that would be, it's also like intellectually driven. It's not pure emotion, right?
No, it's not.
It's coming, but it's Chachma and Bina.
For sure. It's not a matter of emotion or intellectual. This is the experience. It's an experience. This is true. By the way, this could also be true on a purely intellectual level. Sometimes a person is learning, and you're learning something, and you sort of have an idea that comes to you, and in that idea is an unbelievable, is a whole like shtickle Torah. But you yourself don't even know the kashas yet that require that shtickle Torah. You don't even know. So then it's just, and then it's like, okay, that's an idea, and then the idea sort of moves into the back of your head, and then you continue on learning the sugya, and then there's a lot of kashas that come up, and you realize, 1 second, that idea that came to me, that'll be helpful, that'll be useful. And then all of a sudden you realize that you were given a taste of the chiddush that you are eventually going to unpackage. So this is a truth. Like this is a process. So this process, it could be experienced intellectually, emotionally. It could be experienced with Mitzvah Maisius too. So you could have a person that's inspired and therefore they, you know, take on a lot of chumras. You know, they take on a lot of menhagim and chumras and hidurim and things like that. And people are looking and saying, well, you're not holding by that. Of course he's not holding by that, but that's the Tehillas L'Kel Elyon that his neshama is experiencing, and it's actualizing in him taking on these hanogas, these chumras, although he's not holding by them yet. So what happens is, and this is the part that he has to sort of like, it is the nekud that I wasn't going to go into now, but it is true that when the Kala, when the Shechina then emerges into Atzilus, there is a you should know going in that, like we spoke about this on Shabbos, all of that infrastructure and that yichud, all those madregas that she experienced as Tehillas L'Kel Elyon, when you actually break through into Atzilus, then the Shechina realizes, oh, that was all fake. That was not fake, but that was all like, that was all a taste. That wasn't the real thing yet, huh? It was still in the Meichin of Bria. So relative to Atzilus, it was nothing. That's what the Rizal describes. That's when in the Kisari, there's like a kasha. It's like, 1 second. In Tehillas L'Kel Elyon, everything's developed. It's all gevaldik. Everything's done. And so now it's just a matter of getting into Atzilus where it's on the next level. But what's amazing is in the Kisari, when the Shechina breaks through into Atzilus, she has to start the whole process of Binyan all over again. She's back to Nekuda Ketana. Mm-hmm. What happened? I thought she was the full parts of, she was a full infrastructure a second ago by Atzilus L'Kel. And the answer is, so it wasn't taken apart, but that full infrastructure on a Bria level is a Nekuda Ketana compared to what it's going to be in Atzilus. It's not Chas V'Shalom, there's no Yerida, it's not taken apart, but it just, you've graduated into a new space that's called Atzilus, and then all of your Madrigas until now, Mamash, nothing. Exactly. Exactly. It's the same story. It's the same story. It's the same story. So this is the Neser Kavon. Yeah. It's all for that. And that's the Rizal's Madgish. He says that a person has to have a lot of Kavana when you go into Hashem Sfasei Tiftach, because that's a huge transitional moment. It's a big avodas over there. This is all the story of Shamgar. Remember that we're learning Shaiftim, yeah? I said before, Ehud is the story of the Shechina ascending into Gula, going from Gaulis into Gula. What's Shamgar? So we saw from Mitzvah David. Shamgar was a matziv of the Jewish people are not... They're not let's break it down. When Klal Yisrael are in a state of Ra B'Eini Hashem, right? So that means that they're certainly in the lower universes of Bria Tzin Asiya. Not only are they in the lower universes of Bria Tzin Asiya, but they're stuck in the klipas of Bria Tzin Asiya. And then there's the opposite extreme, which is one of the Iker Shoiftim and Ehud Iker Shoifet. Gula Shlema, Tshua Gedoila, the Jewish people are now, the Shechina, Knesset Yisrael, and so on, is now Natsilas. Natsilas, now it's ready, Madregas, Tzveikas, Ocher Bocher, Panapanim, Yichud, Gevaldik Zach. But then there's something in between. There's Tehillas L'Kel Elyon, which is, you're still in Bia. But you're not in shambles in Bria. You're B'Shlemus in Bria. And the Shechina is developed, and she's in a full stature, and there's a Yichud, Kutcheviru Shechinte, and it's Moshe of Nei Yisrael, it's Gevaldik, but it's Bria. This is the site of Shamgar. The site of Shamgar, Ben Anos, is the Shoifet that's Megala, this truth, which is that even before the Tshuva Gedoila, even before the ultimate Gula, which is to break through into Atzilus, there's a mitzias of Tehillas L'Kel Elyon, Goylam, Baruch U'Mavayrach, which is the complete stature and the kaima of the Shechina HaKadosh and Knesset Yisrael Bishlei Musam, albeit in a state of Bria, which is there ultimately for the purpose of preparing Knesset Yisrael for the Tshuva Gedoila. Where we see this in Shamgar, so a few nekudas. First of all, who is Shamgar himself? You take a look at Maramukh number 5, this is from the Sefer Likutim. It's late. Sefer Likutim is from the Arizal, one of the Sefer Arizal. So Sefer Likutim, the end of Sefer Shoiftim, I don't know why it's at the end, but all right, maybe this is why it's at the end. I don't know. But at the end of Sefer Shoiftim, the Arizal talks about Shamgar. So he says, just it's mamish one line. He says, "Bimei Shamgar." He quotes the pasuk, "Hu nishmas." Oh, it's a mistake. Dafka there, Gershon ben Moshe. Right. So Moshe had two sons. Right. One of the sons, huh? Eliezer and Gershom, yeah. So one of the sons is Gershom. So Gershom ben Moshe, Shamgar was the Gilgul of Gershom ben Moshe. V'zeu oisyes shamgar gershon. It's the same letters. Misharish kain. From the Sharish, that's a big subject of the Shar Gugulim. There's Kain Dik Neshamas, Hevel Dik Neshamas. But Shamgar was a Gilgul of Gershon ben Moshe. It's Gershon ben Moshe. You ever heard Gershon Moshe? What's the. Exactly. It's the. Moshe, again, Moshe is Yisayt Abin Atzilus. But Moshe Rabbeinu sends his Ha'ara, Moshe Vnei Yisrael, Baruch Mavairach, sends his Shefa down into the lower universes. That's the Ben of Moshe Rabbeinu. The Ben of Moshe. A ben means an extension of the father, but not kara davua. So Moshe Rabbeinu means Yisoid Abba and Atzilus. The ben of Moshe means the extension of Moshe going lower into Bria. And that's Gershon ben Moshe. The word Gershon also is mamish. Gershon, right? That's how Gershon means, a ger means someone that's not really from there, but somehow is there, right? So like Avraham Avinu says, ger v'saisha v'nochi yamochem. A ger means a foreigner. So Gershon ben Moshe means someone that's being sent. Moshe Rabbeinu himself doesn't go to Bia. That's not where to Bria doesn't go there. But he has to send his emissary, so to speak. He has to send an extension of himself into Bria. And that emissary in Bria, in Bria, that R has to have this contradictory component. It has to have a quality that's Briadic. It has to be, because that's where it has to go. But it still has to be authentic to its origin point. So that's the site of Gershon. Shom means it's there. Like, it's comfortable there. Ger means it's not comfortable there. That's the site of Gershon. So Shamgar ben, I saw some Mesfarim ben Anois, is also Rosh HaTevis. Oh, how's it go? It's Rosh HaTevis for them. Evid, how's it go? Evid, Neman, Tamim. Those are three descriptions of how Moshe Rabbeinu was described. Evid, Neman, and Tomim. So that's the Rosh HaTevis of Ben Anois. So that's who Shamgar is. And therefore, Shamgar kills 600 Plishtim, the Malmad Habakar. Why 600? Again, it's everything that's happening in the physical world is a reflection of something that's happening in Ruchnias. Six. What's the number? The number six. Six is the Midah of Yisoid. Yeah, 600 hundreds. Is Shleimus. Hundreds is Bria, right? So if you have 10 singles, tens, hundreds, thousands, right? Singles would be Asiya, tens would be Yetzira. This is the results we find this. Hundreds would be Bria, thousands would be Atzilus. The fact that Shamgar ben Anois is killing 600 Plishtim means that he is the embodiment of this inyan of Gershon ben Moshe, of Tilus Lekel Elyon, which takes the Oris of Atzilus through the Yisoid, Shebi Yisoid, and that Yisoid, Shebi Yisoid emerges in Bria in order to be Poel Yeshua for Kol Yisrael. That's the number six, but 600, because we're talking about Yisoid in Bria. Again, taking the Ha'ara of Moshe Rabbeinu, which is the Yisoid of an Atzilus, of Chachma, but channeling it through the Yisoid, Shebi Yisoid, breaking the barrier into Bria, which is number six, but now it's 600 because you're talking about Bria. Vayachas a Plishtim, and it's killing the Plishtim. But Malmad Habakar with this poker thing.
Goad.
Huh?
A goad.
A goad, that's what it's called?
Cattle goad.
A cattle goad. Okay, perfect. What would we do with that, John? Okay, a cattle goad. So a cattle goad, okay? What's the name of Bakar in the Kisvei Ari? One of the differences between Atzilus and the lower universes is that the universe of Atzilus corresponds to an Adam. It says in Pasuk, Adam ubehema tishi Hashem. There's neshamas that are Adam neshamas. It says in Pasuk, Hashem will save Zera Adam and Zera Behema. There are neshamas that are Adam neshamas. Neshamas that are Adam neshamas means neshamas that come from Atzilus. And then there's Behema dik neshamas. What's Behema dik neshamas? Neshamas that come from Bri Yitzin Asiya. That's why Malchus, the Shem Hashem of Yud, back to parentheses, the name of Hashem that's a tziruf that corresponds to Malchus as she's ascending the lower three worlds is Yud Vav Dalet is Yud, Hey Hey Vav Vav Hey Hey. That equals Bigmatria Behema. So the side of the lower universes is the Inyan of Bakar. That's the Inyan of Behema. Shamgar ben Anois kills 600 Plishtim, but Malmad Habakar. Malmad Habakar means how to be madrich and how to be manhig, how to handle, how to bring shlemus to a certain degree to Bakar. We're not talking about Adam yet. We're not holding by that. But now that's a tshuva gedoyla. That's for other shayftim. But Shamgar's avoid is to bring a tshuva katana, to bring shlemus to malchus as she's still in the universe of Bakar. That's malmed habakar. And that's the site of what Shamgar does. Take a look at Marmokah number 6. This is from the Sefer Gugul in Neshamas, the Ramami Panu. Yeah? Yeah. Oh, very good, very good. Oh, very good. Gam is Gersh Moshe. Very good. Gam hu, very good. Baruch hu mevoirach. That's the who is a reference to Yisrael. Should very good, okay. So take a look at Marmokah number 6. This is from the Ramami Panu, Sefer Gugul in Neshamas. So he says like this. Okay? He says, Shamgar ben Anas. It's again a little bit of a mistake. Tehika sheish meis ish shel plishtim b'mal me habakar. Okay, he is a. We saw from the Rizal that he's a Gilgul of Gershon ben Moshe. But again, when you're talking about Gershon ben Moshe, is a big neshama, so there's enough room. You know, in other words, it's a spark. You can have a person that's a spark from many places. So there's definitely a spark, like the Rizal says, of Gershon ben Moshe and Shamgar. But the Ramami Panu reveals another spark. Who are of Shmuel bar Shilas? Shmuel bar Shilas, one of the Meroim. So he was also a Gilgal of Shamgar. What's the Indian of Shmuel bar Shilas? Davi Mikri Dardiki. Shmuel bar Shilas in the Gemara Babasa, we find this in a few places, that he was considered to be the prototypical perfect Malamed. He was the teacher of children, Tanagish Abis Rabbam. He was the teacher par excellence. V'umor Chanisa. And his Malacha, which is to teach children, is starting off in that universe of Shamgar. How so? So he says like this: Rav Shmuel ha'yizohir lasis malachta kitikuna kedisa babastra. The Gemara says in babastra that Rav Shmuel bar Shilas, when the Gemara talks about in the sugis over there in Perek LaYachver about how to set up a cheder, so Rav Shmuel bar Shilas, he's the go to, like you ask him the shayla what needs, so like the halachas of how many kids should be in a classroom, how many rebbeim, what the schedule should be like. That's Rav Shmuel bar Shilas's inyan. And Rav Shmuel bar Shilas in the Gemara says, for example, he says that until the kid is like 6 years old, you know, it's basically like babysitting. You're, you know, aleph base a little bit, nothing. But he says, but once the kid turns 6, asvi le ketura, then you have to feed him like an ox. You just like shtup him with Torah and mitzvahs and avoyda, just shtup him with divrei Torah. He chaps, he doesn't chap. He'll process later. Shtup him, you know, fill him up with good things like an ox. That's the lashon of asvi le ketura. So he says like this: v'zeh milas malmet habakar. That's Malman Habakar. Lashon Melamed. Shalei Melamed Oysam, Umaka Talmidim. Okay, that's already maybe not for nowadays. Umaka Talmidim, Kadesha Yolmedu. That was Rishon Rashilas. For Oysan, Sheish Meyas, that's 600 Plishtim, Remez El Shish Sidre Mishnah, Ki Kol Seder Kol Mimeya. So what's the Rami Panu saying? What's the Indian of children learning Torah? The Indian of children learning Torah is the same thing as Tehillas L'Kelelion. Does the kid chop what he's learning? He doesn't chop what he's learning. That's what Shmuel Bar Shilas said. Just stuff him. Just stuff him with Mishnah, stuff him with Torah. It's the whole Indian of Chinuch, right? It's the whole Indian of Chinuch. It's Tehillas L'Kelelion. Now, you would think that. When the kids, a child means Biyah. So be, you're not holding, there's no moichin over there. When you get tatzilus, that's Torah mitzvah, that's a bardas. What's the nev chinuch? The nev chinuch is tilus l'kelalion. As you're giving him a taste of what's going to be an atzilus on a bria level in a way that he doesn't, but it's going to escort him into atzilus, and then when he's there, he'll be able to realize what he was given, and he'll be able to appreciate that, and he'll become the person he has to become. So this is the site of Shmuel bar Shilas, Shamgar ben Anas, is the inyan of the malamed malmer habakar. That he's misaking this inyan that even before you're holding, you stuff yourself with good madrigas and good things, because that itself is going to be the way in which you eventually get to be holding. Huh?
Isn't it in a way not higher, but more in chassidus, more closer to the
left? Well, the Gemara says that the world stands on hevel piyum shel tenekesh shavis rabba. So there is something to say about that, where that whenever you have this like strange infiltration of something high to a low place, that whenever there's like a breakdown of the normal Seder Shal, like the Seder Shal should be like Atzilus, Atzilus, Bria, Bria, like whenever there's a breakdown of that, So it always means that something greater is at play. And there's almost something that the higher Madrega can gain from the lower Madrega. Otherwise, why is it interesting? There's a Torah like this in the Baal Tanya, in the Siddur. In the Siddur of the Baal Tanya. So in the section on Talmud Torah, the Baal Tanya is a Torah like this, where he says that the only reason why, like there's a concept, he says, of no tzayfim tchilasim, that the highest Madrega is rooted in the lowest things. So he says, why does Hashem do that? It's time to be creative. He says, the reason why he does that is because otherwise there will be no interest for the higher Madrega to descend. Like, what do I need it for? But the answer is, because the higher Madrega knows that there's a certain nekuda of unbelievable depth that's actually in the lower place, and that's what it's being attracted to. So there is something to say that a mila in the Tehillas L'Kel Elyon Inyan, even greater than Atzilus. Again, the world stands on Hevel P'im Shel Tanegesh Shav Yisrael.
The Hevel, even.
Right?
Empty.
It's even mamish empty, right? Because they don't even have what they're saying. They're just...
Why could
you
say
the Kuma Meyah? You know, that's a...
Why could say the Kuma Meyah?
Huh? Because May always means a shlemus. So in other words, that's the idea, that even when the kids, they're learning Mishnayos, they don't even chap what they're learning, but it's a shlemus for them.
Why Seder is May? Seder is not shlemus. The Shishas is not shlemus.
No, but each Seder is subdivided into 100. Another 100 means a certain shlemus. So that's what he puts it. So May always means that. So that's the idea. That's what Shamgar Ben Anas is revealing to us. So what's the Ikar Avayda is... that we have to know that there's such a thing. And first of all, you see an unbelievable chiddush is that there's such a thing as a Yeshua before Yeshua, right? There's such a thing as shleimus relative to bria. That's not necessarily the shleimus of Atzilus, but it's relative to bria, and it's also called a tshuva gedayla. And even to yidden that are still holding, and that this is the ultimate chizik and the melech tzioshe that Shamgar ben Anais has to be for us, which is that even when yidden are holding in that matziv of Lasis Rabbeni Hashem, Afal Pikein, they could be Zaycha to a Tshua, to a Yeshua in that space, and it could be Mamish reflective and reminiscent of Atzilus. And Adraba, that's exactly how we'll get to Atzilus. So the Rabbeinu Shem is waiting for them to do Tshuva. The way that they could do Tshuva is by sending them a Yeshua, right? That's what the Shpol Zayde used to say this to Rabbeinu Shem. He used to say, Rabbeinu Shem, you're waiting for them to do Tshuva. They're not doing Tshuva. So you might as well send them a gula ready because it's not going to happen. So, but the oimik is that by having a taste of the Yeshua Gedoyla, which is what Shamgar is, that's Tehillas L'Kel Elyon, that propels us into Hashem Svasei Tiftach, which is where the gula shleima takes place. Okay, we should be zeichet to experience the revelation of these gulas on all levels. Amen.